For those of you who don't know me, I'm Andrea Habeis, and I'm the pastor of worship and prayer. This is Garfield Bowen. He's our leadership board director, and Chris Grasky is our middle school director. And you might be wondering where Kevin is, because he's supposed to give a sermon today. And I got a text at 5:45 this morning saying he was up all night with the flu. So he is not here this morning. And he would have been preaching about the scripture where Jesus got lost. So, which is kind of why you're, the question of the day was, did you ever get lost? Because Jesus did. His parents couldn't find him for 3 days. And I know Kevin will catch us all up once he's back. But we felt like this was the perfect opportunity, since we were given the vision 2025 last Sunday. And it is about our humility before God to stay in a posture of prayer, that we could take this time for the next few minutes and worship Him and pray. Because this vision is bigger than us. It has to be, or God wouldn't give it to us. Because if we're going to be the community that He wants us to be, it's going to be because we're depending on Him. Because we can trust Him. So if you didn't get one of these booklets and you want to kind of pray through it, like I said earlier, there's some up here on a white table in the corner of the sanctuary, and there's some in the balcony in between the doors up there. We're going to take some time to worship together and pray together, just as the Holy Spirit leads. We didn't plan this. We're just going to follow the Spirit's leading. If a scripture comes to your mind, if there's a scripture that you want to pray over the congregation, over what God's doing, there's a microphone right here. Feel free to come up. There's Bibles in the seat pockets, or you can use the Bible on your phone app, or if you know the scripture by heart, just come up and pray it. Two of the scriptures that God breathed into this vision, the first one was from Psalm 24, verses 9 and 10. And it's about God opening up the gates so that the King of Glory can come in. So part of what we're going to do this morning is open up those gates and worship the King of Glory. And then the other scripture God used to breathe into this vision was from 2 Kings 4. And verse 38 explains that it was in the midst of a famine. And what we're recognizing in our community is this famine of, there's loneliness and people feel very disconnected. But always in a famine, God begins a harvest. So if you go down to verses 42 through 43, it explains that in this famine, a man, a farmer, right, who had the first fruits, God gives first fruits, even in a famine, and he brought his first fruits and gave it to the man of God, and Elijah said, give it to the people. And even during this famine, everyone was filled and there were leftovers. Because God always gives more than enough. So what is God giving us? What is God giving you as a first fruit in this famine that He wants you to bring and share? Because it does nothing if we hold it. It only produces fruit when we share it. It only feeds other people when we share what God gives us.
It's interesting. interesting. As we were back here this morning preparing and praying for a service, it just struck me, and I think struck all of us, that just last week, as we shared the vision, it focuses on being guided by the Holy Spirit. And here we are 1 week later, where we're like, well, there's no sermon, there's no pastor. But then there is so much peace that we had when I stepped in here this morning and Andrea greeted me, and then she says, yeah, pastor isn't well, he won't be here. She quickly followed up, but I have peace. And that peace was transferred to me and all of us who are here this morning, because God's gonna do something. Amen, church? God's gonna do something this morning. Amen? So turn those cups up, open your hearts up, and say, Lord, do your work. Do your work. We don't know how the story will end, but He knows. He's called each of us here for this moment and for His purpose. So I invite you to just worship and just open up your hearts. And my prayer is that each of us will leave here this morning more connected to Christ and more ready to carry the vision that He's casted for all of us to grab a hold of.
Would you please stand as we begin worship?
Rest on us. I feel the fire and wind. Come do it again. Oh.
Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Because you're all we want. You are all we want. There is nothing in this world that can satisfy our every need. Nothing. But you, O Lord, you are everything that we need for life and for godliness. So yes, Holy Spirit, come and fill us this morning. Come and fill us this morning. Lord, we want to operate from a place where we are truly connected to you and what you want to do in us and through us. So, Father, it's no coincidence that you've created this space for us this morning to bring all of who we are, the aches and the pains and the challenges and the heartaches and the joys. We bring them all before you, Lord. We bring them all before you this morning. And Father, we've got to lift up your manservant, Pastor Kevin, right now. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray right now that you will heal him from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. May his health be restored. You are Jehovah Rapha, indeed. You are our healer. You are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. You heal then, and we know you are in the healing business today. So we just pray healing over him right now in the name of Jesus. Father, there are so many in our body right now that are also unwell. And if you are unwell right now, I just ask that you will just place your hand out and receive the healing that can only come from our Creator. So, Father, you know what's going on in each of our lives. And so, Father, where there is healing that's needed, may you deliver healing right now in the name of Jesus. May your people be healed right now in the name of Jesus. May it be so. May it be so, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
One of the things that we've heard from David MacGyver is that as we're moving into this new vision, we have these little lamps that we carry, and they just give light to our feet. And I just think that's so profound. God doesn't always give us the far out what's going to happen next, but he gives us the next step. And then it occurred to me that the only way that we can get any more light than that is if each of us is carrying a lamp. And it reminded me of something I wrote actually a few years ago, but I wonder if I could share. This little light of mine can barely see it shine. That little light of yours, swallowed up in the forest, indebted to the poorest, drowned out by the chorus. This little light of mine could be worth your time. That little light of yours, open up the doors. Let them go before us. No one can ignore us. These little lights of ours open up like flowers. These little lights we've known like sparkling seeds being sown. 1,000 diamonds growing like sunrise on the snow. Thank you.
Last night, one of our members, Eric Roving, many of you know him, went to heaven. And one of the last things that Judy read to him last night was from 1 Peter chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, and Eric did, and Judy did. Those have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Sharon, thank you for sharing that. We've been out of town for the last almost 3 weeks, my wife and I, so I didn't know about that, but I've had a chance to visit with Eric, and I love that passage of Scripture. Well, a week ago today, I was in Addis Ababa preaching to a church, and the theme was simply the goodness of God. And the text that I drew from was from Ephesians, starting chapter 3, starting with verse 16, where Paul is praying for the Ephesians. This has been on my heart for some time, and I just wanted to share it in light of what we've been talking about. So this is Paul's prayer for the Ephesians and for us. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. It's not through our strength. It's through his power, through his Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Paul goes on to say, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all of the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And I showed them pictures of the Grand Canyon and the Great Rift Valley in Africa as just a human expression of how high and deep and wide things can be, and yet the love of the Lord is far greater than all of that. So he said to grasp how wide and long and high and deep. But then he goes on to say in verse 19, and to know this love. So his first comment was that we would grasp the enormity of God's love. That's an intellectual grasping, but then he says to know. To know. To grasp is one thing. To know in our inner being is another. To know this love that surpasses knowledge. Why? So that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And then many of you are familiar with verse 20, which finishes like this, his prayer. He says, and now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Vision 2025, we are asking, we are planning as a church, but we are putting it before a God who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. And so to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Aren't you glad you didn't have to listen to the whole sermon?
Thank you, Dick. And that is so true. And just to remind you of the vision that we talked about last week, it's empowered by the Spirit. Westgate is called to be a gateway of hope, building authentic community in the church and sharing that community throughout the Twin Cities. And I've been spending some time in Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was called to bring the message of the Lord to the people because they weren't hearing it, much like our world is not hearing it today. And a couple of passages stood out to me. Jeremiah 7:2, he instructs Jeremiah, "Stand at the gate of the Lord's house and there proclaim this message. Hear the word of the Lord." Later he says, "This is what the Lord said to me, go and stand at the gate of the people through which the kings of Judah go in and out, and stand also at all the other gates of Jerusalem." There are lots of gates where people are coming and going, and as this church, we're called to go to those places where people are coming and going so that they can hear the message of Jesus. I was just listening to Steiger talk about their ministry, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're going to the places where people are so that they can bring the message of Jesus. And I think that's key to us living out Westgate's vision 2025, is that we go to those places, and we're in those places, whether it's our work, whether it's the things we play and do, all those activities, we're in the places where people are that don't know Jesus, and we need to take his message to those places.
Hello, everyone. My name is Matt. Most of you don't know me. I'm new here. My family is newish here. And this series on identity is why we are here. I have a deep knowing growing up for most of my life with insecurity, self-esteem issues, how easy it is to make choices that live into that instead of living in with the identity that God gives us. I surrendered to Jesus 3 years ago and have received the most precious gift that I think a human can receive, and that is the gift of feeling loved and feeling chosen, feeling valuable. The verse on my heart, and I think this might serve us well as a community, is Genesis 1:28, and what's interesting on this verse is it's the very first thing that God tells humans. Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. And what's spectacular about this verse is I think it's a blueprint on how to live life. Be. That speaks to our identity, church. Fruitful, multiply, right? This speaks to doing. What do we do after we are being? And have dominion, and that's how we steward all the gifts that we received after doing. And most of us, myself included, mess that formula up. I spent my life doing in order to be. There was a lot of people that I know that spent their life having to be. If we don't get the being right, all of that is messed up. So there's a blueprint to wherever this church is going, right? We need to be, we need to make our free will choices that live into the identity that God calls us to live into, and not our brokenness, not our weaknesses. Because there's a lot. And it's a conscious choice. And thank God for what he has done, that we now have the choice that we get to choose to live into this beautiful, perfect identity. We have a choice. Thank you all. God bless.
Lots of gate themes. If you read through the vision, and then even just language this morning, last week, just reading through that, it stirred for Jamie and I just something we've been carrying for a long time that is around Acts 3. So I wanted to read the passage here this morning. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple for the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. A man who was lame from birth was being carried there. He was placed each day at the temple gate called Beautiful, so that he could beg from those entering the temple every day. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for money. Peter, along with John, looked straight at him and said, "Look at us." So he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, "I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk." Then taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and at once his feet and ankles became strong. So he jumped up and started to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized that he was the one who used to sit and beg at the Beautiful gate for the temple. So they were filled with awe and astonishment at what had happened to him. And I think about this passage because I think we all know what we need. Like, we think we know what we need. We use language to describe, this is what I need in order to get whatever it is. And that's what his daily routine was. And he had people that were aligned with him on that, and they supported him in that, and he showed up that morning. And so he's asking for what he needs, and the very thing that he ultimately needs is healing. That doesn't come through gold and silver. It comes through the authority that was carried by these men who loved Jesus, and they administered healing to him. And so I just think of what we're doing as a community here and aligning around a vision. And it feels like a pretty grand vision because it's asking everybody here to connect with what Matt just talked about. What is your identity? What does it look like for you to be able to bear witness to the transformation that Jesus has had on your life, and then just be able to tell people about that? And so it's big because some of us just don't want to connect with that. We want to be able to be told what to do, and we want to do it. And so I just think about this passage because it's us having to administer the authority by the authority of Jesus, healing into our community. And it's not what our community thinks they need. They think they need something else. And so I just want that to be something that continues to be further impressed upon me, and may that be an encouragement to you. And my son's got something he wants to share.
Hey guys, so early this January, we talked about just working on some stuff in the book of Joshua, and there was some stuff about Joshua that I had already looked into, so I loved about, when we were learning about that, but there was something in that. There's the, everybody knows the verse Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. But there is, I loved when David MacGyver was talking about how there is something special, paraphrasing here, something special about this church. And the authority that we have and how important we will be for his kingdom. So I feel like there's a special anointing placed on Westgate. But in that, as he was talking about authority, just the authority we have that we can take up. And that reminded me of, there was in Joshua, and it's not talked about very much in the Bible, but there are, I've looked and there's been a few different, you know, translations where it's dwelled on this a little bit, and that is a Hebrew war cry, Rock Kasak Amatz. And I don't know if any of you have heard of that, but broken down, Rock Kasak Amatz. Rock means do this, or only do what follows. Kasak means be strong and act like a man, and Amatz means take courage or be courageous. So if you kind of put that all together, it ultimately means be strong and courageous, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And so I feel like, as he was saying, you know, we want to be just told what to do. Just follow the simple instructions, you know, come to church on a Sunday, worship, and all of the things that we know how to do, and then just go about our daily lives the rest of the other 6 days. But I feel like the authority that we can take up in a war cry like that against what the devil, you know, has, if we are called for something special, the anointing that we have on Westgate Church, if what God has for us is any threat to the devil, he's going to try as hard as he can to stop us from that. And that is why we need to take up something like a war cry, like Rock Kasak Amatz, to be strong and courageous, to not be afraid or discouraged, and to hold up our shield, our guard against anything that the devil has to, you know, say to us. So I'm just going to read Ephesians 6, the armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. And with all of this armor of God, may we also take up that Hebrew war cry of Rock Kasak Amatz. Thanks, guys.
Would you stand as we sing? Here now, Jesus, you change everything. Chains will fall, fear has to bow. Here now, Jesus, you change everything. Lives are healed, hope is found here now. Jesus, you change everything. Chains will fall, fear has to bow here.
Take a couple more scriptures here.
So in 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat, the king, gets word that a number of armies are coming against Israel. Many more than they can battle. So he calls everybody together. And he prays, and at the end of his prayer, he says, "We have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." And the Spirit of God comes upon someone who speaks up and says, "Listen, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them." What happens is that when they march against him, they begin to sing. And when they begin to sing, the armies begin to fight each other. They don't even see it. And when they come to the top of the hill, they've all slain each other because they had sectarian fights, and all of a sudden they all destroyed themselves. So this verse, this passage was given to me very strongly at a point in my life where I was in a battle. And I felt like the word was very strong to me, this battle is not yours, but God's. I feel like our brother was talking about being and doing and having and so forth. I feel like there's a battle, intergalactic, if you may. There's a big battle. There's the forces of good against the forces of evil. And then in our own lives, there's battles where we have conflicts with people. There's interpersonal battles. And then there are inner battles. God is sovereign over all these. The battle is not ours, but God's. We are participants by praising and going out and standing firm, but the actual battle is God's. That's the word I want to give you today.
In Matthew 10, Jesus sent out his disciples, and he says to them, As you go, preach saying, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. In Matthew 28, Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. Part of that observing commands that Jesus gave them was for each of us to go and preach that the kingdom of heaven is near and to heal the sick. For years, I struggled with this understanding of healing the sick. After all, Jesus could, but could I? Well, I can't. But in James 5, I believe that God has given the gift of healing to his church. Amen. And we need to take the authority to step into that role and not move in our power, but to move in Jesus' power. And not only share that the kingdom of God is near, but to actually pray over your neighbors and friends that they might be healed. And to connect it to our church, in the early 2000s, Gene and Becky Hill were driving by the church, and the Lord said that this is the church where he was going to do a further work and the Holy Spirit would come. In early 2000s, at a prayer meeting that I was at, Gene said, let me give you a prophecy that God gave me. When the name of this church, Wayzata Free Church, will be changed to the name Westgate, the Spirit of God will fall, and healing will pour forth through this church. And the healing will go from this church around the world.
Andrea was asking us to think about passages. She read the first one, and then the word harvest came to mind. And I was like, Lord, is that you? Because then two passages came to mind immediately. And then she read the second passage, which I did not remember from last week, about the man bringing his first fruits and then multiplying it. And then the word harvest was in there. And so these are the passages that came to mind. The first one is Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And then this verse is the one that stood out. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And then the second one that came to mind, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And then the final one from Matthew 9. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. Amen.
Would you close us in prayer?
Sure. Lord, our deepest desire is to reap the harvest that has been sowed before us. And so we pray that you would work in us what is pleasing in your sight, that we would feel love unimaginable, that we would just be so secure in who we are and whose we are, that we can go out boldly and courageously, healing the sick. Praying for those around us who need you, who are close to us but are far from you. Lord, lead us on one step at a time. I pray that each one of us today, as we leave here, would ask you, what's my next step? What's my next step? Because, Lord, you speak to each one of us, and you want to do this collectively as a church. And so may we be bold and courageous to take that next step this week as you lead us on. Thank you, Jesus. We know that you're beside us, ahead of us, and behind us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.